It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. It's 90 degrees is what you said? 90 degrees. Lucas has baseball tonight, so I guess I get to be out in 90-degree heat. That sounds fun?
That sounds like a blast. Is there a night where he doesn't have baseball?
Yeah, there's like last night. I had nothing. I went home and had nothing to do, which was really cool. All right, it's the Tay and Jay Show. I am Lon Tay. You are Jeremy Warner.
Thank you.
And that is Mike Carpenter.
Yes.
And I do that because on the phone with us now, we didn't really get a chance to introduce ourselves as we do it, is Kiwan Garris. Kiwan, how you doing, my man?
How y'all doing?
I'm doing great. Now, where are you at right now?
Right now, I'm home in Indiana.
Okay, so you're back in the States. I didn't know if you were. I have no idea, Kiwan. I've got a lot of knowledge of your career at the University of Illinois, but I don't know where you're playing now. What are you up to these days?
Last time I was over in Italy. I was playing in Italy. I've been over there for the past 9 years. This past year, I set out this year because my wife was pregnant, so okay. She needed help at home. So I've been home for since then.
You can't live in Indiana, Kiwan. That's not fair.
Yeah, I know, huh? I always give people grief about it. Every time I see somebody, I'll be like, oh, man, Indiana is killing me. I got to get back to Illinois.
Well, Kiwan, did your wife have the baby yet?
Yeah, she did. He's 5 months.
Well, congratulations on that, Kiwan.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, you talked about before that, 9 years in Italy. Wow. When you talk about playing overseas, it's not often that a guy sticks in one country for that long. How did that come about that you've stuck in Italy for that long a time?
Just a lot of hard work, a lot of good relationships, and just sticking it out. I think just playing there, all the teams got accustomed to how I played, and a lot of teams wanted me to stay in Italy, so I stayed. And plus, the country was nice. It's real relaxing, and the food was great. That was a big plus for me.
Now, I've been talking about going to Italy for a while now. What do I have to do if I've been in Italy? I mean, you've been over there for almost a decade now. What are some of the spots that a lot of tourists don't get to that you've been able to see because you've been over there?
Oh, man, Milan, Florence, Rome, Venice, where else have I been? Sicily.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I pretty much started my first year over there. I started off in Sicily, you know, and it's a small town. And then I moved my way up to the northern part of Italy. So I've been all over Italy, and it's been great.
We're talking with Kiwan Garris, Illinois' second all-time leading scorer, averaged 16.8 points a game at the University of Illinois. And Kiwan, I assume even the 9 years you played in Italy, you could still, what do they say now, score the basketball, right?
Yeah, I still can score the basketball. That ain't going nowhere.
How about the assists? I mean, were you kind of counted on as the leading scorer, kind of like you were at Illinois for the most part?
Not at some places, yeah. Some places, yeah. Some places, nah. Because people really don't know that I had played a year with Marco Bellinelli, that's in New Orleans right now,
yeah,
with the New Orleans Hornets, and pretty much got him going. And then I played a year with Danilo Gallinari, that's in the Denver Nuggets. So they was more, you know, when I played on them teams, they was much more of the guy, and I was like their mentor.
Is that hard to do, Kiwan? I mean, you're a guy that wanted to play in the NBA, then you go overseas. Is it hard to mentor somebody when you want that spot? I know Danilo had to be a young guy. Now, of course, he was drafted by the Knicks, went to the Nuggets. But is that a hard spot for you because you're both fighting for, you know, the same spot and the same dollars?
Yeah, no, not really, because from jump, they tell you what your role is. So it's not hard. Like, you know, coming out of school, it's more of a job than anything else. You know, you want to score sometimes, but other times, you know, you have your role, and most of the time when you're in a role like that, you're going to get your opportunities to score more than usual.
Talking with Kiwan Garris, former Illini, playing in Italy for a while. Italy competition-wise, I mean, everyone talks about Spain. You know, sometimes over in Eastern Europe, you can get good competition. How does Italy match up to the rest of Europe competition-wise?
Italy, for the most part, is one of the top leagues over there. It's mostly Spain and Italy is like the top leagues over there. So they the best places to go right now.
So what's the toughest part as an American? You know, we're talking about some Illinois guys. If it's Dimitri McCamey, Mike Davis, Jeremy Richmond, that might have to go over and play in Europe. What's the toughest part as a young American basketball player to adapt to when you go to Europe?
Being alone, you know. You're over there by yourself most of the time. I mean, they give you four free plane tickets for, you know, family and friends, but most of the time, that ain't enough because you usually want at least two or three people to come over to visit for at least 2 to 3 weeks. So I think the most part is trying to adjust to the culture, trying to adjust to the language, and over there by yourself. But, you know, if you love basketball, then most of that stuff, with the love of the game, it overcomes all that difficulty going over there.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what gets you through those lonely nights? Because we might take it for granted that we get to go home to our family, you know, to our friends. But when you're over there, yeah, you have basketball, but that's about it.
Yeah, you got basketball, that's it. But, you know, now with all the technology and everything going on, you can Skype people now. You can, you know, they got the BlackBerry where you can BlackBerry message people. And you got so much stuff going on. You're able to communicate with everybody else. I mean, just hearing somebody's voice every other night can help you as well.
Martez Wilson from Illinois is going to come on later in the show, and I just called you Martez, Kiwan, so I don't know what I'm doing. That's me to a T. Kiwan, were there any other Illinois players or any other Big Ten players that played in Italy while you were there?
Let me see. While I was there. Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I usually play against, when I was in the EuroLeague, I'd go to other countries and play against teams when I was in Italy, and I'd see a couple of guys, but not too many Big Ten guys that was over in Italy.
Kiwan, do you mind if we take a quick break? Do you mind sticking on through that break?
That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to ask, we're going to kind of get back to some of Kiwan's days here at the University of Illinois, and I'm going to ask him about one memorable game that I remember that he played in, and he had a lot of them, and also talk a little bit about some of his former players with Deion Thomas, et cetera, and some of those guys, former teammates, that is. So we're back with Kiwan Garris. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.
The new Connect FM. It's the Tay and Jay Show. And today, you know, we always get some great guests on here. Jeremy, you do a wonderful job of that. And today, why not get the second leading scorer all time in Illinois basketball history? That's Kiwan Garris. And Kiwan, you know, I'm sitting here looking. You're 181 points. You finished behind Deion Thomas, a former teammate. Did you ever think maybe you shouldn't have passed the ball to him?
He was lucky, you know. I missed a couple of games, so he was kind of lucky.
Well, you know, talk about some of those.
But I never, you know, Deion was a great person and a great guy to play with, and you know, passing the ball with him was one of the highlights of my career too. Coming in as a freshman, because I didn't think that. Coming in as a freshman, I would be playing as much as I would.
I think it's amazing, Kiwan, when I looked at your stats today, your freshman year, 16 points, 4 assists. Sophomore year, 16 points, 4 assists. Junior year, 15 and 4. And then your senior year, what, 19 points, 5 assists. You don't see many guys come in right off the bat and average 16 or more a game their entire career. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard going in there every night. You playing against the best from all over, and especially in the Big Ten, you know, it's a grind-out game every time. So, you know, without my teammates and the coaches giving me that confidence and instilling that in me, I wouldn't have been able to really do what I did.
Kawan, Mike Carpenter here. What are your recollections of, you were one of the players to see the final year of Lou Henson's coaching career and the first year of Lon Kruger. What do you recall as far as that transition? How easy was it? And what differences did you, what were the most glaring differences between those two coaches?
Oh, man, I think the transition was, you know, it was hard because, you know, coach was there for, you know, my first 3 years, Coach Henson. And, you know, just being under a legendary coach like that, it was an honor. And, you know, the transition was kind of crazy because the team, we wasn't really expecting, you know, that to be his final year. And when we found out who the coach was, we really didn't know what to expect. But Coach Kruger came in and then did a great job with the team because, you know, for coaches, it's hard coming in coaching somebody else's team.
Sure.
So, you know, he came in with a good approach, and all the guys, we bought into it and played pretty good. So it was a tough one, though, because, you know, it was a whole thing about Coach Collins supposed to have been getting the job, and, you know, everybody was kind of disappointed at that because he's been around so long and he's done a great recruiting job, and, you know, he the one that brought me in. So, you know, that was kind of painful, too, at the same time as that transition was going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they made a decision, and as players and scholarship players, we have to roll with whatever that decision is and try to do the best that we can for the school.
Talking with former Illini Kiwan Garrison. And Kiwan, you know, D. Brown and some of the former Illini under Bruce Weber, it took a while for them to accept him as a head coach after Bill Self left. How did Lon Kruger win you over? Obviously, he's probably not going to live up to what Lou Henson was because you guys committed to him. But was there a moment that you guys said, okay, this Kruger guy, he ain't bad?
He committed himself by what he said he was going to do. He was going to get us better. And, you know, with the workouts we was doing and teamwork that we established, ended up being a pretty good year for us. And especially, you know, for me, you know, I got better in every category it was. And that was tremendous for me to see that he was going to come in and take that time and do what he said he was going to come in and do.
Kawan, you play with a lot of people over your 4 years here at the U of I, a lot of players that are very memorable to Illini fans everywhere. Are there any names out of all the guys you played with that you especially shared an on-court chemistry with, that any time that you both were on the court, you felt like something special could happen?
Oh, man. I think everybody I played with was, you know, great. And when I was down there, we was a family. I mean, you can go from Deion and TJ and Richard King, Tommy Michael,
Shelly Clark,
Shelly Clark, Robert Bennett. I mean, yeah. you know, all these guys, you know, Kevin Turner, Brian Notre, Jerry G, you know, all them guys, you know, being from the city and being from Illinois and just being able to play with these guys, they taught me something. Because I was a quiet guy when I first got to Illinois, and they opened me up.
Kiwan, you brought up Bryant Notre's name, and that leads me back to one of the memorable games you guys played in, and that's, you know where I'm going. It was the Cameron Indoor. Oh, baby! And how about Notre's dunk at the end of that? I think Duke had won, 65 straight games or something at home.
Non-conference games.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you the exact number it was, because I'm going to remember this game. It was 96 games.
Holy cow. Man. And then Notre has the dunk at the end. What was that like for you guys after that game?
Oh, man. I felt on top of the world because I didn't even supposed to play that game. I had a groin pull.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A groin injury, yeah. And I had missed a couple of games already. But I was like, I wasn't missing that game. I couldn't miss that game. It was against Duke and Cameron Indoor. I couldn't.
Oh, that was awesome. I can remember that like it was yesterday, watching Notre do a little bit of a 360 at the end.
Notre, I remember a game, the Michigan game at home, and we was on a fast break, and I passed on the ball, and he must have took off outside the lane and just tomahawked it like Jordan. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this dude is unbelievable.
And, you know, another game that I remember that isn't a fond memory for you, unfortunately, and it was your final game, but I remember going over to Charlotte and covering you guys in the NCAA when you beat USC. Then you played Tennessee Chattanooga, and they got you. The Moccasins beat you in that one, and it was really a huge upset at the time, obviously, and still is. But, you know, what was the rumor before that, Kiwan, that they, after you guys, because they had already upset somebody, like Texas or somebody, and then you guys, after you beat USC, wasn't the rumor that Tennessee Chattanooga heard you guys chanting Sweet 16 or something, and that led to that?
Nah, they made that up.
Okay.
So I guess they made it up so they can get confidence and beat us like they did. So, I mean, we never was in there celebrating and thinking about, you know, Sweet 16. We already knew we had to win another game to get there. So, and Coach Kruger wouldn't have never let us. Coach Kruger and the coaching staff wouldn't have never let us do something like that.
Sure.
Wrapping up with former Illini Kiwan Garrison. Kiwan, I mean, that win, the NCAA tournament win before that, kind of set off where Illinois basketball kind of took off, you know, recovering from all the NCAA things that happened in the early 90s. But now it seems to be in kind of limbo right now. What do you think of the Illini program right now?
Rebuilding. I'm trying to get guys in there to, you know, fit the Fighting Illini name. You know, it's hard recruiting these days because of so much stuff going on, and you feel like you have a good group of guys, and it's always probably one bad apple out of the bunch that probably messes the chemistry up. When I came down there last, I think it was February for game, like they played against Wisconsin, they lost, but I know, looking at them, I know that they can win, and it's all about going in there and giving it 100%. With these guys, I was talking to guys down there, and they was telling me it's like 6 or 7 new guys coming in, and what they doing this summer is great because they get a chance to build that chemistry before the season starts. So I think they got a good group of guys coming in and a good group of guys that's there, and they probably do something big, something that people are not expecting.
And Kiwan, you're a Chicago Westinghouse guy. CPL, Illinois had its struggles there. What do they need to do? What does the current staff need to do to reestablish its ties and get more CPL kids? Because Michael Henry, that's coming in, is I think the only guy on the roster that's from the Chicago Public League.
Uh-huh. Stay out there. you know, you had to build these relationships. It's all about building relationships with the, you know, schools and principals and coaches of those teams, and just making your presence felt. You know, coming to a game, I remember when I was playing, and I seen Coach Henson and Coach Collins come in. I mean, that was big for me.
Right.
I didn't know who, you know, I had other guys on my team, but, you know, them coming in and I see them, I'm like, man, this is an opportunity right here. You know, I could be going to this school.
Sure.
You so, know, Kawan, I was talking, like, oh, sorry, Kawan.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay, well, I was actually just going to say here, you know, I was talking to Jeremy and Lon just before we had you on, and I've said this for a few years now, that if there were a retro with the Fighting and then the Illini and the Bomb and 22 in the middle, if I could get a retro Kawan Garris jersey, that would be first in line out of any jersey I could have, because I was I was seven when he came in, and those 4 years were where I really became a fan, and I think a lot of Illinois fans would agree with me that when they were deciding the all-century team and what numbers were going to go up, if there's a number, a glaring omission on that, it's number 22, Kawan Garris, that should be up there with all those other names. So
exactly.
I'm not alone
exactly.
in that either.
Yeah, I heard a whole bunch of stuff about that one too, and you know they felt them are the, you know, best ones. I mean, I'm gonna be truthful. I don't agree, because you know some of the things I done there, and you know just being a part of, you know, sometimes you feel like when them jerseys are lifted and the names are called. And you're saying that, you know, Kiwan, and when you hear Kiwan Garris, he's like one of the best players in Illinois history, but you don't have his jersey up. So it's almost like a smack in the face. I mean, my wife, I think she wanted to kill whoever was on the committee. But, you know, but I told her sometimes this stuff happens. But, I mean, I'm still waiting, and I'll be around until they decide on putting that jersey up, putting exactly. that 22 up there with my name on.
And Kiwan, are you going to be here for that August 2nd game, the alumni game again?
I plan on being down there, but I got to see what's going on, because you know my wife is a national recording artist. She's an R&B singer, and she might have something going on that day. So I gotta make a decision.
Well, Kiwan, I tell you what, we have Lucas Johnson come on with us every once in a while and talk, and he still claims to be the best 22, and we had to throw it in his face, Kiwan Garris.
Oh, man, tell Lucas next time I see him, I'm going to hit him upside the head.
I love it.
Not confessing to him.
Well, I think you'd be playing into his game, though. You just need to run around him and score. Well, Kiwan, this was awesome. When Jeremy said last week that you were coming on with us, I got really excited, and I know all three of us are big fans, and I certainly have had many a discussion with my friends about the fact that number 22 is not up on that rafter, and I hope one day that it is for sure. So, buddy, thanks for coming on with us. Number 2, all-time leading scorer in Illinois history, Kiwan Garris on the Tay and Jay Show. Thanks a lot, Kiwan.
All right, thank you.
All right,
thanks,
we appreciate that, and we appreciate Kiwan hanging on. A long interview with him, and my great question. In fact, when you started to ask the question, I looked at Jeremy, and I hadn't forgot about it. But I was like, you know what? I forgot. That's a great question to ask you.
What an answer, and I love the honesty.
Yes. And why wouldn't you be?
And you know, when you talk about a number 2 leading scorer, and there's some names up there of some good players,
yeah.
But some of those guys you compare to what Kiwan Garris did here, and it's interesting that he's not up there.
Well, and three of his four teams went to NCAA tournaments. Yes, they only won one game, but three of his four teams went to NCAA tournaments. No team had a losing record.
Yeah, do you think Kiwan Garris deserves a banner? 359-2255, 215-359-2255. When you think about it, you know, after all that happened with the NCAA, right. Deion Thomas, you know, Kiwan was that guy, that bridge that
exactly
kind of helped
right.
into that next team, the one that finally won the Big Ten. He meant a lot to this program.
Yep.
You never know, without Kiwan Garris, where would this program have been in the late 90s?
Great point, and that's a great question. 359-2255, should Garris be up there. It's the Tay and Jay Show.